Hello and welcome, everyone.
Hello.
To the Think Between Worlds podcast.
Yes, we're bringing you all a shorter format here for your daily local commute, hopefully. Hopefully local. Could be a lot longer. Could be far from being local.
Yes. That's assuming everyone listens to this while they're commuting. They could be listening to this while they clean their house.
Or be pooping, right.
Or pooping.
Yeah.
I know I listen to a lot of podcasts while on the can.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, so do I. Who doesn't? But no, that's the length we're going for here.
Yes, and
perfect bite-sized chunk.
Yeah, to let you guys know exactly what we're getting into, E3 just happened, and we're not going to talk about all of E3 because...
Right. No more all-encompassing.
Yeah, last year's episode was...
Yeah, it was just a talking about everything.
Yeah, and it was more of a listing, and that was just...
We're trying to be done with lists.
Really bad.
We're
really
trying to
bad.
Be done with wide open reviews, yes. And focusing on a more specific aspect of it.
Yes,
that
so...
we had liked.
Here's the plan. Today, we're going to be focusing on one thing that really caught our attention, and we figured let's go ahead and... jump in to some speculation about Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2.
Which isn't its actual title.
No, it's not, but it's the speculative title.
Right.
So.
It could be like Zelda Dragon's Breath in the Morning or something.
Ooh.
Spiritual, you know.
I'd be cool if I had a dragons,
right.
Like more than just the three main ones flying around.
Yeah, like
dragons
a real
dragon. That you could ride. I've never had a dragon riding in
I would
these
love
games.
That. Yeah, we talked about that in a previous, like our second. And our
second episode,
podcast,
yes.
Like ever, was all the things that we want to do. And it's like, they got to add more mounts. They got to add more things you can ride. Because
yeah.
It's like, when they put bears and deer in there, you're sitting there like, why couldn't you, like, ride the dragon?
Yeah.
Or, you know, or even worse, like, why couldn't you stable those things?
Well, okay, well, shit, you've got a video that you have kept this day on your Switch, 30 seconds long, like, right after they put that feature in there, of you, like, accidentally catching an updraft through a dragon while wearing, like, your heat armor from the Goron City,
right.
And just literally bouncing from like his front all the way to his back.
Yeah, it was Dinral. Yeah,
yeah, it was fucking.
Yeah,
great.
I'm like, aha! I shot you. I needed like a claw of Dinral.
Yes,
and I'm like, poof! Shot him. Did the slow mo. Poof! Ha ha! And then caught the updraft. And then I kind of forget the dragons. Like I just said, they caused an updraft. I caught that, but it was way too quick. And then I like glitched through Dinral and just bounced on his back consecutively, losing pieces of hearts.
Yes.
Like all the way down to my last quarter. And then I fell, hit the ground, and rolled, losing more quarters of hearts. And then I was revived by Mipha's grace. And then I kept falling.
It was
and
great.
That's when the video cuts off.
Oh, God, it was so great. Because then you fell to the bottom of that canyon floor.
Right. Like, well, I fell into a black abyss, which would have respawned me. I think. Maybe
no,
there's a canyon floor.
It was that canyon floor.
But it was a straight cliff drop. It was roll to the edge and then just a straight up fall.
Yeah.
And it was that's where the video cuts off. And I'm sure anybody that watches it would be like, more.
It was
like,
so great.
Where does it end?
So yeah, we love Breath of the Wild. And according to your guys' listen count, you guys love Breath of the Wild. And we got a crazy friggin' trailer. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's like everything I wanted. As like, what we thought, what we were hoping would be DLC.
Yeah.
It was like all of that. Like, why would, you know, why don't they bring back a legit villain as a kind of a quick one-off DLC? Like, oh, the return of Ganondorf. And do this cool five-hour DLC, 5 hours of story-related DLC stuff.
Definitely.
And that's how it feels, except it's like, oh, they're going to extrapolate it into a full sequel.
Yeah, although everyone keeps saying it's Ganondorf, but I happen to be I happen to be on the Yuga train from Link Between Worlds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
OG.
It's such a popular game that they based Zelda's design off of it for Smash Bros.
Yeah.
So in my mind, the long red braided hair or like dreadlocked hair and the big gem on the forehead could be Yuga.
It could be
we
a reliable.
Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Ganon ascended into a storm, but there's a lot of the cool kind of the fan theories and, you know, pausing the video to look at the hieroglyphics and stuff.
Yeah.
And it looks like Ganon couldn't, like, contain the calamity, so he sealed himself off beneath the castle. And it just kind of, he's down there as an anchor point, and it was emanating from that.
Well, the thing that gets me is that, like, Zelda says in Breath of the Wild that the calamity was Ganon basically like giving up his regeneration cycle
right. Once
and for all to fucking just take out Hyrule and conquer it. But like, if if he was fighting off the Calamity, that changes the story entirely. If it was like something inside of him, or like a dark force that he sacrificed himself and it overtook him, that would be weird.
Like, everyone's like, oh, that changes the whole dynamic. There's even the whole, he might be the first hero.
Yeah, yeah, I've been hearing
judging
that.
Judging by the,
been hearing that story
the tapestry
as well.
You get in Breath of the Wild. Well, I don't want to have to call it one, because I know this isn't going to be called Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah.
It's going to have a subtitle that isn't Breath of the Wild. Still be a sequel to Breath of the Wild, but not be called Breath of the Wild 2.
Yeah, well, let's refer to Breath of the Wild as itself, Breath of
right,
the Wild.
And we'll call this Zelda Switch 2, Switch Zelda 2, whatever, Switch 2.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, apparently people have discovered that he does have the scar on his chest, and his neck is still snapped from when Zant did it. So
it could be Twilight Princess.
It's very much Ganondorf, apparently.
Hmm.
Even the scar, even it looks like the hieroglyphics. If you pause at one point, you see like the hand of the sages sealing him via the chest or by the chest.
Yeah. Well, there's that weird glowing hand on the physical body.
Well, that's
as well,
actually that, so, but there's also a hieroglyphic that either unless that's a flashback or something, or it's happening then and there.
It could be.
Maybe something. There's also luminous stones, and it's like, ooh, Zelda and Link go down to get luminous stones, and this luminous sage is down there or some
why?
Shit.
You could just farm them forever up in, right. Up in Death Valley, at that mountain.
Yeah, yeah. There's luminous. Yeah. Well, you just have to wait for nightfall, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like Link doesn't have a million suits to protect him from fucking everything.
Yeah, after this.
You know?
Hey, we're not going to give you the one suit you want. Well, they did. You just have to complete all the shrines.
Yes.
We're going to give you a billion other costumes that aren't the classic costume, I mean, without an amiibo, of course.
Yes.
But yeah, there's a lot of theories
of
around.
Of which I got them all.
Yeah, I wanted the one in-game, you know, the Tunic of the Wild. I wanted the one actual in-game version of it, and not, you know,
the only side tangent. The only amiibo thing I didn't get was the OG Legend of Zelda like 8-bit sword you can unlock.
Yes, I'm like the one I have right behind you in this very room.
Yes, yes, I
refuse to open.
Well, I've got a duplicate amiibo of that little NFC chip thing, but I didn't unlock the stuff that everything that he gets you, because it's such a grind repeatedly scanning them over and over again, and like reloading and scanning and reloading and scanning. So
I think I don't want to use the word hopefully, but hopefully they ditch that kind of that Wii U stuff, that era stuff. They're like that, and they focus more on the game.
Yeah, so...
sorry, where were we? People are getting kind of upset that they might be retweaking how Ganondorf works within the mythos. Like, maybe he's a hero scorned, and then it turned out, oh, well, my destiny all along was the power part of the Triforce. I was never the courage part of the Triforce. Or what, you know, if people think he's an OG hero. But I kind of like that idea.
I think it'd be interesting if that, you know...
Make them the Trinity versus something worse. What if there's something worse out there like we talked about? What if Ganon's absence invites something that's far more ancient and far... Like literally, like, OG demise or the imprisoned comes. Yeah. And even Ganondorf has to stand with Zelda and Link. Like, they are the Triforce incarnate. They're the Trinity. That'd be kind of a cool thing to see. But, like, what's the movie where the heel goes... face, you know, that terminology, like, oh, he went heel from wrestling, and if you go face, you're a hero.
The
end of Farscape, Scorpius goes, he turns from heel and goes to face and joins the crew.
Yeah, I was like, Zurg? The evil Emperor Zurg end?
You know how their stories were like, oh, it's so cool, now the bad guy's like part of the team. Spike went heel to face in Buffy. And
there
like,
you go, that's something.
That would be like really cool to have Ganondorf go from heel to hero.
Yeah.
And join the team a little bit, like begrudgingly. But I mean, he's looking quite evil mummy-ish. So I don't think they're going with that.
Yeah, well, there is that hand. So
looks like it's a luminary sage. People keep theorizing
it could be
a sage.
I've heard people say it's like a twilight hand.
Yeah, it could be someone from the
breaking
twilight
through our realm. Could be Zant. Could be Midna. Could be some descendant of theirs.
Right. And people say the lettering itself looks. It's kind of fucked up Gerudo alphabet.
Oh. Well,
is what they're saying, swirling around him. People have even played it backwards, and everyone hears something different.
One
of them is "Find his body, find my body." The other one is you know, "Beware Ganon, beware Ganon, beware Ganon." And you're just sitting there like, I don't hear any of
it's
that.
It's just noises.
Yeah, I don't hear any of that.
I sat down and I listened to forwards, backwards, at various speeds, you know, and it's just, you know. or whatever it is. It's nothing. It's just.
Oh, at 124, I heard, like, every comment's like, and there's always, like, 60 replies, like, I heard it too, and you're just
Well,
apparently other people beneath you heard what this guy said it was saying. It's easy. Suggestion.
It's just Yanny and Laurel all over again.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, when you're studying, you know, electronic video recorded stuff, like, from a ghost hunt, and all of a sudden you'll hear, like, a weird noise in the background, and it's like, was that somebody saying get out?
Yeah, we gotta magnify and see if it's a voice. And
you know, and it's not. It's just interference, like static or
so
whatever.
Stupid.
Yeah.
People are this. All we have is the footage we got. It looks like somebody's reviving Ganondorf. He's back.
Yeah.
Whether he regains his composure, or
him or Yuga.
Yeah, or you. No, I'd love if it was another Gerudo male. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Oh, I would love if it was. You know, what we said in the last episode about Breath of the Wild was that you were saying you wanted to be some like external force, maybe like they leave Hyrule.
Right. Other eyes from outside of Hyrule watched enviously.
You know,
we're waiting their moment.
We discussed like Vati returning.
That hand looks wizard.
Or
you know,
Yuga.
Here's my own thing that I just thought about. Hmm. Remember that wizard Aghanim from A Link to the Past? Well, it turns out he's actually Ganon. It's like but he's that evil wizard, and you think he's the villain for like 80% of A Link to the Past, until it turns out he's just Ganon in disguise.
I don't think I ever actually played Link to the Past all the way through.
Yeah, he's just like this wizard, and he has the exact same hands with all the rings on it.
He's wearing a purple cloak, though, right?
Right, and he's got
like lightning. And
he's
stuff?
Got the long fingernails and the spindly arms. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this is like their version of him. Like some wizard from another world came in.
I always said that I would love if they brought back Majora. You know, in some shape, fashion, or form.
Well,
but
yeah.
Apparently Majora's at peace and everything after the events of Majora's Mask.
Right.
But, like...
It's kind of been exorcised.
Yeah, but still, like, I think that would be a really cool thing. But
it would.
I'm down with anything, you know, really, at this point. Because Breath of the Wild was such a beautiful game, such an amazing game. And this appears to be all of that and... a really dark game.
Well, that's the official statement. I think it was Anuma. There were a couple interviews, which I guess we can talk about now. Like the legit claim apparently is like it's gonna be between this and this. I think it's gonna be darker than Majora's Mask, but not as dark as like I guess he thinks Twilight Princess is the darkest. That's his opinion on that.
Mm.
But yeah, he said darker than Majora's Mask, and people are like darker than Majora's Mask. Jesus, like, the game in which you learn about the futility of helping people.
Yeah.
Like no matter what you do, you're going to be stuck in the same grind over and over again, and they're all going to die.
I'm sorry, but if you want to know how dark Majora's Mask is, all you really have to do is play through the Cafe Anju quest.
That's pretty dark. Or just think about the transformation masks at all.
Or, you know, the people that you get the masks from. And in particular, you know, that very end where after you beat the game, you see the butler discover his warped son.
You discover where the Deku mask came from, and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, the warped body of the Deku shrub that gave you your Deku.
Which is sad because like people think it's a plot hole. It's like, well, all the damage done by the Skull Kid, which we're left to imply the Skull Kid did that to his son. But I think there's another theory like, no, it's like he left Termina and the magic power that makes them Deku shrubs. He just like kind of died there and this grew roots and became a plant, became like a tree.
Well, then why was the butler in the end credits sitting there weeping
That's where the plot holes arise.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think they imply that like he was cursed, but like now that Majora's gone, shouldn't he have like returned back to life? And then it's even more dickish. Like, no, because Link has him trapped in a mask. So he's like, he's alive in that mask.
Well, no,
he's inventory.
He's been healed because in order to get it off
of
you, you have to learn the Song of Healing.
Yeah.
So that is what removes the, you know, you put him at peace the same way you put, Daruna or whatever.
Daru, what was his name?
Oh, God.
Darmani.
Darmani.
Sounds like a fashion brand.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's Armani. Darmani.
Yeah. When I was younger, I said Darmani. That's what I thought it was. But then,
and then
when you kind of look
name?
At it,
Darmani. Like the guitar playing Zora guy.
God.
I don't.
Macau,
I think.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Once again, I'm young. I'm like in fifth grade, so to me it was Macau.
Yeah, well.
Sounded more exotic to say.
If you guys know the correct pronunciation, please let
I've
us
I've heard
know.
Mikau, but it sounds like, oh, me cow, you chicken. Like, dude. Yeah. But apparently Mikau is the... It's a Japanese name. Or
okay.
Something.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Just something like that. I think it'd be really cool if it was as dark as Majora's Mask. But if they're saying darker. That's
you're like shit. You realize when Link puts on that one of those masks, he's being possessed, and at the same time, it's the entity in that mask coming to life. Like the last thing they remember is dying, so they're shrieking in horror, being brought back, screaming into the world.
Okay, you
and Link you is screaming say, as well because they're invading his mind.
You say that, but at the same time, when you heal Darmani and you get the mask. Doesn't his spirit still like float in front of you and say like thank you for healing me?
Yeah,
I can
then,
move
and
on
and then
to
he
the
like
next
particulate
world.
He becomes particles particularizes
yeah, the spirits leave. You're just keeping like an essence of like their body and soul in the mask, and what you're screaming about is like the intense body horror of your body transforming like
there's
you know
that too. It's
an
everything.
American werewolf in London
yeah,
or whatever
it's everything
it is, you know?
But so, at the same time,
I don't think that their souls are trapped in the mask at this point. I think I like how we got into an we're getting into an argument over like how the masks work in Majora's Mask when we're supposed to be talking about Breath of the Wild too. But still, I don't think that they're trapped in there because you've healed them and they've moved on. You know,
I'll keep my version of it.
Okay,
that's dark.
Okay,
and twisted like everything else people love to do with that story.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Yeah,
like Link's dead the whole time, and the four
yeah,
things are
Jesus.
Just the whole symbols of like the, yeah. the stages of grief.
God,
yeah. But anyway,
he died when he fell down that hole running after the Skull Kid.
Yeah,
it was just going
and
to
everything
hell or
is
whatever.
Everything is him dealing with the fact
yeah.
that he's dead.
What the fuck?
Yeah, the
yeah.
five stages of grief.
So Zelda switched Zelda to Zelda Switch.
Yes. Were you able to glean anything from the trailer? Like I've been seeing lots of weird stuff with like
my,
a glowing hand.
Yeah,
like
my thing is I. They once like they've left the Wii U behind.
Yes.
And that I remember their focus was like really worrying about that tablet. I remember there were statements about, well, we want to revolutionize how you'll use the tablet and we're going to incorporate it into the very story itself. And everyone's like, wow, how are they going to revolutionize using a tablet and holding it out in front of you? And it turns out you give Link a fucking tablet, the Sheikah Slate. And then, you know, but then they ported it to the Switch and it just didn't feel, I mean, it felt great on the Wii U to pretend that was your Sheikah Slate. Like I every time you pulled it up, I was surprised you didn't go into first person to make it feel really, to really help you connect with your Wii U tablet. Because I got it on the Wii U first, gave up, and then got it on the Switch to kind of complete it.
Yeah.
But this time they're gonna leave that behind. Like they're not gonna worry about that. So I think when his arm gets imbued with that light or whatever's going on,
yeah.
I think maybe he tries to stop and touch Ganon, but it spreads to him. I think that's going to be your new ability set. It's going to be coming from your arm. Kind of like, I don't know if you've watched any of Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
No.
But you're a grappling ninja, you have a missing arm, and you have a prosthesis that can do different things.
Oh, okay, cool.
So you can have a magic arm is my theory.
That's pretty cool.
And specifically, you see chains going into it. And I'm sitting here going, I'm hoping that that's your long shot rune. All your runes are now in your arm, so you'll still have bombs. You'll just kind of summon a bomb and throw it.
How do you think that's going to happen? What, like the Sheikah Slate's going to explode in his hand? And like the pieces are going to get infused in him? Or,
oh, I just
or maybe that's like some secret forbidden Sheikah technology that they stored away because it was too dangerous.
Well, if we go the route of what everybody's hoping for.
Yeah.
And Anuma also said this is basically, like I think we already said this, it's like all of our DLC ideas, and we're like, this has to be a whole different game. We have so many DLC ideas, this can't just be this one-off thing, it's got to be its whole sequel.
Can we keep the motorcycle? Sorry.
That's what everyone's hoping. Well, everyone's just hoping that you could just skip the fucking tutorial in the beginning. You could be like, did you play Breath of the Wild? And you could be like, yeah, kind of like Banjo-Tooie legit gave you like, did you play Banjo-1E? And you're like, yeah, great. And then you don't have to do a tutorial with bottles.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's like 20 years ahead of its time.
I never got the chance to play Banjo-Tooie.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that's there in the beginning. You can
nice.
Say, oh, no, I paid attention last. It's like really sarcastic and very rare British, you know. I hope they kind of do that. Like you still have your motorcycle, or at least you can start the game and kind of get Metroided. You can do the first learning everything there is about the game, and then whatever happens beneath the castle there. And then you kind of lose everything from that, and then you slowly get it all back over the course of maybe the first half of the game is kind of getting back the things you had. And then from there, the game kind of does its midway Zelda point where you get your first three dungeon things, and then it opens up to a whole bigger world.
I really would. Something you mentioned in the first episode that we did about Breath of the Wild is that in this game, we do have more traditional dungeon styles, and I would love
everybody
that,
everybody wants that.
Yeah.
Everybody wants
the
that.
The shrines were great.
Well, I gleaned that from the trailer.
But there were too many of them.
I gleaned from the trailer. You see it zoom out of the mouth of a cave. Well, not a cave. It's an actual, like, a temple front.
Yeah,
like a dungeon front.
That could just be where they find the body.
Right.
You know,
but they still went into, like, a dungeon, which tells you they're working. What's great about this is people, there was that other race that was in Breath of the Wild, if you were paying attention to all the, people claim it doesn't have a story, mm-hmm. but, like, if you search it out, there's a lot of neat shit that does form a really cool story.
What other race?
There were, like, the ancients, and you went to, like, the forgotten ancient ruins and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you even get their armor, the barbarian armor, and there was, like, this ancient tribe in the Faron region, and it looks like they're in those ruins. That's what the ruins looks like. The architecture looks like the Forgotten Ruins.
Oh, well, the vast majority
there was
a
name,
people,
apparently. I have to look it up. It's in my book here.
The vast majority of people believe that everything we're seeing takes place under the castle, because when the mummy wakes up, the castle lifts up quite a bit.
Well, it's great because that's where the guardians came from. Once again, a story beat you have to find.
Yeah.
They spawn from the bottom of the castle.
Shit. Did you know that the guardians are based off of a special kind of pot?
No.
Yes. The guardians, their design is based off of a special kind of, like, I think it's like Japanese, like ancient kind of like pottery upside down. Hmm. If you flip it like upside down, it looks like the head of a guardian.
Hmm.
So it's like the pots are rising up against Link for destroying them all
that's
for over the years.
That's great. The pots revenge.
Yeah, seriously.
Larceny.
Look this shit up, guys. It's fucking hilarious. These pots are really fancy looking, too. You know the little bits that like kind of come off like in curls on the sides of the guardians?
Yeah.
Like, that's a significant thing on these kinds of pottery.
Yeesh.
Yeah, it's...
That's pretty great.
It's great! Like, the pottery is coming back to destroy Link. It's awesome.
But I think we got tangent. My mind's going back to the Sheikah Slate. Like, how would I get off on this tangent? What I meant to say is, if they're going the way we hope they are, you're playing a Zelda and Link, maybe even co-op.
I would love a co-op option in Zelda.
A two-player Zelda game, the very first one.
Oh, my God.
And I think they'd give the Sheikah Slate to her, because she's the one that designed it.
Oh,
you see her
yeah.
kind of fucking with it in all the flashbacks and really geeking out with it and taking pictures.
Maybe what it could be is, like, she's using the Sheikah Slate, but you have, like, an attachment in yourself. So kind of like she's remote operating, like, so I need the hook shot, and she hits a button, and all of a sudden, like, whooshing, you know, like, he's able to shoot it out. She
right.
has to sort through it. That way it's a tandem.
Well, that's what I'm saying,
game.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
she
yeah.
does things he can't, vice versa. And that's what makes it, that's what makes great multiplayer. And that's what made those old kind of,
I'm picturing like a Real Steel thing where, like, she hits the button and it changes up him.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That would be, you know, interesting.
I was thinking more like playing Gauntlet or something. You always kind of chose a character, and each character had their own special. You know, like, it's a very old arcade.
That would be
style.
Cool too.
Right. They both kind
God,
of.
God, I haven't thought about Gauntlet in a while. I used to love Gauntlet Legends. Anyway,
there's another theory that Link is the one getting captured. Those chains spring to his arm.
Oh.
So everyone's like, ooh, like, maybe you have to rescue Link for the first time ever in, like, the history.
Yeah.
Even if it's a small part of the game, that'd be kind of funny if you go into a temple. And he kind of ends up lost in it somewhere, kind of like the Wind Waker assistance
did. Oh, you know what it could be? The game starts off as Zelda, and then you have a tutorial that you can play that is different, because Zelda obviously is going to operate differently than Link. So the game starts off, you're playing as Zelda. That's the tutorial. Link gets captured. And then once you rescue Link, then you have the option of making your choice or being co-op.
Dishonored 2 begins. You just kind of start playing as, what's his face, Corvo. And then there comes like a crucial point where you're ambushed by assassins and whatnot. It's like, now choose your character. And you're like, ooh, this is cool. You choose Emily, his daughter, or him. Like, that'd be kind of a cool, kind of a pivot point.
You know?
You play Zelda for a solid hour, and then it's just like, it is time to choose Link or Zelda. And it's okay. Grab a friend, because he could be Link or Zelda if you don't choose the other. You know?
Or, and I'm not sure how it works in this honor, but it'd be cool if you could switch back and forth at any time.
Yeah. So. I'm thinking like the Kayfabe quest, although you're constantly switching. Like,
yes.
Like the Final Fantasy VII demo we got, you can kind of switch between your party members.
Just as long as it's not like... When you switch, they just stand stationary and don't move.
No,
like the Cafe Quest or the Wind Waker, you know, quest where you control.
They were
Burrito Chick and the Korok.
They
dude.
At least followed you.
I can't remember.
Give
their names.
Them that much. That was pretty.
Well,
good
they
even
followed
for
them. You when you were Link, but if you were playing as them,
Link just,
Link's
there,
just
like,
you know, weird face
with
know?
The power of my mind.
I will control you,
Doctor Link, Doctor Strange. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm hoping everyone's kind of like, this would be so cool if you could finally do it co-op, but it just doesn't seem right for Zelda. Yeah. But I mean, one can dream. It's like, oh, that's a wild thing
they could
do. It
would be awesome if they programmed it so you didn't need it, but you had the option.
Yeah. No, I love that idea.
That'd be great.
And I also love the, we want traditional dungeons, and it looks like I said, I think they're going to bring some of that back. If not, add more divine beasts or those kind of dungeons, less shrines.
You know what would be so cool? As if those traditional dungeons were like, because like you run across Hyrule Field, and you run across what everyone says is Lon Lon Ranch, and it, like the layout of the ruins.
It is, without a doubt.
Is like Ocarina of Time's Lon Lon Ranch, like disheveled.
Mm-hmm.
How cool would it be if these temples you go to are old temples that have like decayed and rotted over time and have been expanded upon over the years? Like people going in there and like breaking out walls and making new rooms and all that stuff, and mm-hmm. everything's fallen to pieces. I'm picturing like Portal 2. Like you go through some of the OG rooms in Portal 2, but things have changed because it's been there for a bunch of years and things have overgrown and trees have torn through it and people have...
They're more wild.
Yeah. Right. More wild. Breath of the Wild.
Right.
You know, but shit has changed. That'd be so cool if we go through some like the classic temples from the older games in the same series.
That'd be awesome. I personally, I'm always pro like newer temples concepts that they hadn't done before. You know?
Yeah. But like...
Like, you know, that's why I love Skyward Sword. Those were so fucking different. Like, think, not Twilight. Twilight Princess, you kind of retread some old ground.
Yeah.
It was, oh, yeah, Fire Temple, Forest Temple, yeah, Water Temple.
Yeah.
Skyward Sword was just so, like, ridiculously different. Like, you know, the ancient sea. And then you were on a pirate ship. You know, that was
pretty
fucking
cool.
I love things like that.
But that wasn't really, like, people consider that to be a temple, like a dungeon. Like, where you have a big boss at the end, you get the special item.
Right.
But at the same time, like, that's not a traditional dungeon.
Right.
So, I mean,
speaking of big bosses, you know, I'm hoping they bring in everyone wants traditional bosses back along with their traditional dungeons.
Like, don't get me wrong, Hinoxes are great. So
they should have been at the end of a temple.
The big rock guys.
Right. Those they should have been
again?
Taluses.
Taluses.
Yeah. That they should have been at the end of temples, or they should have been at the end of shrines or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool to stumble up. I mean, that's the first time I ran across a Hinox was like, fuck, it was like sleeping. And that was so cool to me. I'm like, that's like a fucking boss just laying out here in a field.
Yeah.
And that's where Breath of the Wild, people, I haven't seen a lot of haters, but I see people that definitely say, like, this is definitely not my favorite Zelda. And it's not hate, but they go, this might even be like last on my list. And the people that say this isn't Zelda. And I heard a great defense, and it was just a comment. And it's like, what Breath of the Wild is it's one-to-one what they wanted. They wanted to make a game in which there were no impassables. There weren't any roadblocks.
Yeah.
They wanted to truly make an open-world game. And so their original thing was, oh, you know, I want people to look at that mountain and be able to reach the top of that mountain in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
From where they are. And like, not, you can't even do that in Bethesda, like, because you'll just try to climb a rock face and you'll slip and you'll fall or you'll die. You can't do that in Rockstar, because once again, especially with like Red Dead 2, they added that realism. I tried to walk up a grassy knoll and Arthur slipped and rolled down it. I'm like, why can't I just walk up this? It's not even a steep climb.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to add the realism of dew and my boots can't dig in and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, let's not talk about not being able to climb in the rain.
Yeah, but also it's a whole thing with, you know, like we didn't program anything past this point, so you can't climb up there.
Right.
So,
that's that too. But they finally made this game where you do look at a mountaintop and you can just like fucking. They were probably sitting in dev going, what can we do? How can we shake it up? How can we really help you traverse? I know, climb anything.
Yeah.
With the exception of the interior of shrines.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's do it. Let's have Link climb almost any surface. And like, what other game did that? And also, you know, say you finish a mission in any other game, there's that sense of, I have to go back to the camp now. Or I have to go back to the mission spawning points.
Yeah.
That's an hour you had to commute all the way to start your mission. And then you got to commute all the way back.
Yeah.
But Breath of the Wild is like, when you get to your temple or your shrine or whatever the hell, and you finally did what you want to do. Oh shit, I'm at the top of a mountain now. What can I do to what if Link just jumped into the abyss and had a little paraglider and can just like, you can get from the top of the mountain back down to center, you know, the center of Hyrule Field in a second.
Yeah.
If you had the stamina for it.
Definitely.
Or you can just drop a certain amount.
I used
to do
that at the Twin Peaks shrine up there.
Everyone does. You get a lot of height and you just jump.
You stand up there, you wait for a star piece to fall and you just glide out to it.
Yeah.
Although sometimes it didn't always work. You had to like drop and then motorcycle out to it. But
right.
Yeah.
Once you had
horse,
that.
Call your horse and stuff.
Right. And like, it's a game about adventure, But like the most important part of adventuring is the traversal. It became a traversal based game.
Yeah.
And that's what someone was saying. I'm like, that's a really good take to explain to someone who didn't like it. It's like, yeah, it isn't the Zelda you wanted. It isn't the traditional Zelda formula. This, you know, this is without temples. Everything's out under the stars. There's very little that's inside. You know, personally, I like the cast stuff. Like, I wish they ditched shrines entirely and made the shrines more like the Indiana Jones-ish kind of...
Like Tomb Raider kind of a thing.
Yeah, like you're sitting there trying to solve a puzzle with Cass, and then you figure it out, and up comes the shrine, and you go in, and then you meet one of the Sheikah zombies, the undead Sheikah corpses. Yeah,
those guys were weird.
I guess they're still alive, or their spirit at least gives you guidance.
As they were going to die, they sealed meditated, away.
Right, yeah. Or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Right, like, I wish all of them were that instead of... Because, you know, you can't handle the same music for more than about 10 minutes, and sometimes you were stuck in there for about 30. That's another chase people want. People are like, bring back a soundtrack, please bring back a soundtrack. Yeah. And the enemy music, change the ear bleedingly terrible, you know. I get what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to terrify you.
Yeah.
It's like that, the trickling piano.
The piano thing. It's supposed to build tension. Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God. Yeah, people are like, bring back like a traditional, you know, again, we just saw Link's Awakening. People are like, bring that in. The classic instruments, the cellos, the violins.
Yeah. I am definitely excited for this game.
Yeah.
I honestly can't think of anything we haven't already discussed. Sorry, on one but, in there.
The big tangent is I hope they keep everything that was positively said about the first Breath of the Wild there.
Yeah, yeah. Keep the positives. Yeah. Ditch some of the
negatives. Make it about traversal. Be able to get all over Hyrule any way you want. The term is make your own fun.
Yeah.
That Zelda was about making your own adventure.
Definitely.
Because people are like, hey, a Zelda maker or a Zelda crafter. Like, that kind of was a Zelda crafter. They gave you these tools and you kind of made your own.
The cool thing about this thing is we see like rats roaming around the caves and stuff. That means maybe there'll be more overworld creatures and it won't be so barren.
That's another thing I almost forgot. They put a lot of work into the wildlife.
Yeah.
Zelda never had wildlife outside of like birds and butterflies.
Yeah, but at the same time, like I said in the first episode we did of this, like skeletons, spiders. I mean, other things.
Well, you want enemies, right? But I have the concept art book, and there's the whole, like, the world section where it shows enemies. There were more enemies than I remember, personally. Because
like squirrels and birds.
But then you go to the wildlife section, and I forgot, like, there are squirrels, birds, horses, deer, bears, bees.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, they wanted to make an ecosystem, and therefore they really didn't dev too hard on the enemy side of things. And so, like, now I understand why there weren't
both.
So well, yeah, this time around, they're going ground up from the Switch.
Yeah,
I think there'll be more enemies.
I personally, real quick, I think it'd be great if we ditched the majority of the color system of enemies and literally
a lazy reskin.
Upgrading enemies.
Yeah, they should. So they have more armor the further down you get. They're like, or they learn from your attacks. You started ambushing, because they kind of did in this. You start ambushing their camps, they start wearing helmets. Things like that.
Well, I didn't like the fact that, like, you know, you'd run across a bunch of red moblins and you'd kill them, or sorry, bokoblins, the small ones.
Right.
You'd kill them like that, and then you run across a blue one, and then they got the black ones, they got the silver ones, and you know, just, come
eventually
on.
Goals. You're, come on.
You know, it's the
that
same.
That could have been another monster. You could have had Darknuts or Gomas or
yeah, something like that. Like Skulltulas.
Levers.
Oh, levers and like-likes have been great.
Yeah, because like out in the desert, you're like, isn't shit supposed to chase me out here? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I guess not.
Keys.
There were plenty of keys.
I didn't have
them. There were ice keys, fire keys, regular keys.
Yeah, but like they weren't out in the open so much. They're only around like certain, like around the encampments or like in dark areas. You know, it's, you know, make them more out in the open.
Right.
I also got hit by the bats. So not the bats. The skeleton ones. At
I
night.
Almost just said there were no gels. Like, bring back gel. There were plenty of gels.
Oh yeah,
there were plenty of gels.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's
more. There's choo-choos.
There's more enemies than you think there are.
Yeah, when but still, I would have liked some more stuff.
I agree.
Yeah,
you look at the old enemy rosters, and there's still like a missing six or seven, and you're like, oh, well, they should have put those.
Or
in.
How? Okay, spires. this is going a little crazy. How about like evil dudes of the established races? Like the only evil dudes of the established races we have are like the Yiga clan.
Right, like corrupted Rito, corrupted Zoras.
You know, just like...
Well, remember the Zoras were evil. They used to pop out of the water and spit fireballs
exactly,
at you or whatever.
Exactly.
Have the Zoras be dangerous again. Like,
Or have, like, not all of them, obviously, but like have like a, like, oh yeah, there's that clan of Zora that live up the river and they're just like
those
dickheads.
Fuckers. Or better yet, ending a Breath of the Wild 1 is Varuta is malfunctioning. Something's going wrong. Ganon's corruption has left the Divine Beasts and is now going for the denizens of Hyrule. And so you go back to Zora's domain, and they've all been the body snatched by Ganon's calamity or by the corruption.
Would be interesting.
That'd be interesting, because we saw the dragon was able to be corrupted.
Yeah.
And that'd be a good
and
way
that
to kind
of
evolve.
And that was a
bitch
of a mission, and I like that. I was like, oh, I want more shit like that.
Everyone's getting like, okay, so the machines are out. We defeated the guardians and all that bullshit. Now it's just pure malice is everywhere. That malice is spreading instead of the machines, you know.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, and have everyone
have to
possess
like,
mummified evil versions of themselves.
And like, you could have like a good and bad meter where like, if you outright murder them, like people look at you like, why didn't you try and save
they're
them?
They're inspired by Red Dead too. And Numa's like, hey, what are you guys playing? What are you guys? And he's like, well, the other game that's a lot like ours, Red Dead 2, and we're kind of looking to that.
Yeah.
Which is like, ooh, because maybe they will have what Red Dead 2 motivation was, how does the world react to Arthur?
Yeah.
So, you know, so instead like, of the player, oh, how am I going to affect the world? And how am I, no, we had this like, how do they look at him?
So like if you like beat the people with a stick, it's going to knock them out and then you can like heal them.
Right.
But if you're using a sword.
At the cost, or if you're using a sword.
If you're using a sword, you murder them, and then they're
exorcism,
gone, and
right.
everyone knows that, like, hey, you're murdering people you could have saved.
Yeah, see, those are all great ideas. And then also the ultimate, the only, even if people are like, if you can't bring back dungeons, fix the fucking weapons.
Yes.
And everyone agrees. There isn't a soul that's like, fuck that system so hard.
No, you know what? I'm cool with the system, but at a certain point, give us a single fucking weapon of each type
that's repairable,
that is
a perma weapon, a perma inventory item.
Yeah, like I love that the Master Sword was a permanent-esque weapon. It would break because it lost energy. Don't have it break and disappear.
No, pull a Witcher or a Red Dead Redemption 2.
It ceases
to be useful.
Have it break in a way where like you can still fucking use it. It's just dramatically less powerful.
Right. And then here's
that way
the
you don't
thing.
Have to worry about having to like go out and farm for more weapons.
Right. Or like our original idea, bring back Kippora and whatever their name is, Gabara, who were up there in the Majora's Mask.
Those guys.
So
yeah.
Like, kind of throw them because like they seem to be interdimensional. They seem to be time travelers and interdimensional because Ganondorf's swords at the end of the Wind Waker have their make on it if you look carefully. They'll appear everywhere like traveling salesmen in this world, and they could do the upgrading.
Well, so you're talking about time travelers. How about fucking Beetle?
Yeah.
He was in Skyward Sword, which is the earliest point in the timeline.
Right. Well, it's a descendant. It's the family line. They're all named Beetle, and they're all bards.
Are they? Did they reproduce asexually?
Maybe.
Mitosis?
That's my theory. It's straight up. That's my theory, you see. But yeah, I liked our idea that we talked about a while ago. You could do the Razor Sword style kind of thing. Fine. Yeah. What are those crafting items for? You can use them to upgrade to a final form of the weapon that isn't breakable.
Yeah.
So you get your Razor Sword, your part two, and this is only useful
I'm
for 100 hits.
I'm picturing the kind of ores that you collected in like Spirit Tracks
all
or Phantom Hourglass.
Right. And then, okay, cool. Now bring us back gold dust, this or this, like the fairies would to fortify, and we'll give you the final form of this weapon. Which is, it's gone from the Razor Sword to the Gilded Sword. And this is now a permanent part of your inventory that won't break. And you had to earn it.
Yeah.
You had to explore, do shrines, etc.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people call the weapon breaking pointless padding for difficulty.
Yeah.
The padding version of, oh, let's make the game just a little more, we'll impede you a little
like,
more.
You could upgrade your clothing and stuff like
which
that.
Which was all great. Like,
which was
awesome,
yeah. But you should be able to upgrade the other stuff too. I'm with you on that.
Implement that and you got the perfect fucking Zelda game. If you mix the old with the new that they've just did, you're going to have like game of the year, if not game of the decade.
Yeah. And
for sure.
With that, I think we've pretty much covered.
Except one last thing.
Oh.
More
thing.
I have a book here, the concept art.
Yes.
There is concept art of Link without an arm and a broken Master Sword.
Oh.
And the arm is glowing blue. It's unused concepts from the first Breath of the Wild.
Mm.
So maybe we're going to see he thought he was back on top, but he's broken down and they took his arm away. Maybe he loses his arm and it's replaced with the mystical arm.
That's what that chain is. It's pulling his arm off.
It could. Yeah.
He's being drawn and quartered.
Also, Ganondorf.
That would be dark.
Yeah, that's the, definitely Link is wounded.
Yeah.
And then the mask is sort of shattered and broken. Very much a Thor. Like, you're not worthy anymore.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But you can still use it as something, this half-assed weapon. So maybe it's another tale about reforging the Master Sword. And then also Ganondorf does Shanghai Hyrule Castle, and it floats up into the sky. They like the idea of a floating castle in the sky kind of thing.
All right, well, make sure
Their concept was, how can we see Kyrie? Because the design always was, you need to be able to see things from anywhere on the map, essential things. You should always be able to see the castle, Death Mountain, the forest, the top of the Deku Tree, things like that to draw your attention.
Yeah.
Canyon, the canyon walls of Gerudo Canyon. And, the castle's always visible. At first, they wanted to put it up in the sky so you can always tell where you were.
Yeah.
And relative to the castle. So,
well,
is now it.
Make sure that we contact Miyazaki so he approves it and we don't have to worry about legal issues.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. Oh, I'm sure he's a Nintendo guy.
Floating castles are not owned by Miyazaki, but still.
Remember, Ganon's castle kind of floated a little bit.
It did.
In Ocarina of Time.
It did entirely.
Yeah.
There was no bridge until we made it.
The Norse ought to fucking sue Nintendo. Fucking Rainbow Bridge to Ganon's castle.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, though.
That is all.
Yeah, that is all. Fucking great. So if you guys have any opinions or dislikes or things you guys want to add, let us know at thinkbetweenworlds@gmail.com. I've been David on this episode.
I still am Derek.
He's always Derek. He's never not Derek. But me, sometimes I change.
Identity is fluid.
I become different people. You don't know who I'm going to be from one moment to next. Okay. Why am I Russian? I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Think Between Worlds podcast was created by David Kennedy Farner and Derek Dillon. It is hosted by David Kennedy Farner and Derek Dillon. It is edited by David Kennedy Farner, and it is produced by David Kennedy Farner, Derek Dillon, and Madison Sneddon. Intro and outro via the freemusicarchive.org. Cover art by Davey Jones. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next world.